Oh, fuck yeah. Game's on Monday, Rach. Yes. That's the game I'm going to.
And that's good. Monday's better than what?
It would have been. It was either going to be Monday or Tuesday.
And Tuesday's bad for.
I have soccer. Practice. I could have missed it, but like, I don't like to miss work.
Yeah.
Monday night. Let's all right. Go. And I'm on vacation.
Let's go. All right. Here we go. Right to it. Boom. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Welcome to Crosstown Cardboard episode 85 with my great friend Craig at New York City Sports Cards, the math teacher, the soccer coach, originally from Long Island, but now in New York City, and myself, Carmine at Carmine's Cards from Austin in New York, but now a sports storyteller down south in Greenville, South Carolina. And, you know, Craig, the topic, much like ourselves, is all about one of ones. For episode 85, what makes a one of one special is what we're calling it, because these days there's a bunch of one of ones. It's a little bit ironic because, you know, these players nowadays have like 1,000 one of ones. Like if you think of Trevor Lawrence, and he's been in the league a few years now, how many one of one cards might this guy have? Probably, you know, around 1,000, just a guess, you know, of all the different categories, brands, subsets of every card that has come out of him in the years that he's been in the league and college as well. So what makes a one of one special? Because it's not just that it is a one of one, because that doesn't mean as much as it once did, because there's so many one of ones. So Craig, your initial overarching thought about this topic for episode 85, and then we're also going to share some examples shortly after that.
I think you are onto something with the Trevor Lawrence. I remember reading a stat somewhere that pretty much everything that you just said, that he has over 1,000 one-of-one rookie cards, which is just insane. Takes away from it. I remember the days of growing up, trying to think the first one-of-one I ever pulled was 2005 Fleer Patchworks baseball. I've referenced this before. It was a Curt Schilling game-worn MLB logo, and it was a one-of-one. What made that one of one so cool? Like, what made it a one of one? The fact that it was the entire MLB logo on a card. It's a one of one because you can't just make multiple copies of that.
Right.
And I think that's what is going to drive this conversation. Like, what makes a one of one so special and so unique? Like, something that you can't replicate. Mm-hmm. That's what a one of one should be, right? Something that you can't replicate. I can go a million directions with this. Do you have a place that you want to start?
Well, before we get into the cards, I just want to mention that both of us have picked up several one-of-ones recently. I know I have a few one-of-ones in my personal collection, but then also to flip and continue to fund the hobby and make some money and enjoy the financial part of it. And you were recently talking about the Michael Vick one-of-one that you bought and then sold for a profit. I know you've done that with Jude Bellingham at the National. You got that one of one, sold that for a profit. And I think, to me, one of the most interesting parts of the one of ones is the difficulty to comp them, you know, find a comparable sale, and then the risk reward that you can get from selling it for what you perceive to be the value is and buying it at what you perceive the buying value to be, so you have a margin. Because when it's a one of one and it's a cool card, you know, a unique one of one, which is kind of almost an oxymoron, you know, it kind of should be unique. But that is kind of the interesting part of it to me, or one of the interesting parts, because when you have a one of one, you can kind of set your own price and wait until you get that price. But at the same time, there's nothing to go off of, or very few comparable sales to go off of to justify that price. So it's kind of like a made up value, more so than if you had a bunch of comps to go off of.
And that's the appeal. You know, there are plenty of people in this hobby who have a lot of one-of-ones. That's kind of their thing. They buy and sell one-of-ones, and it's for your exact reason. You kind of have the flexibility to set the price yourself. I get it. There aren't exact comps. You look up similar comps. You can look up players from the same set. I get the appeal from a buying and a selling standpoint. You could set the price. There's no comps on it. But if we're just talking straight collecting, what actually makes it special? So here's an example recently that came up. As you know, we all have people and friends in this hobby on Instagram that if a cool Larry Bird card shows up, someone's going to send it your way.
Yep.
People send Knicks cards my way. I love it and I'm grateful for it. So very recently, I saw an Eli Manning dual patch numbered 101. So I sent it to a couple of my Giants friends. Even though it really wasn't the sexiest card, I sent it over anyway. It was a 101, Eli Manning, dual patch. And I think what neither of my Giants friends were interested, by the way, because what it came down to was there's nothing sexy about this card. It was a pretty basic two-color patch. It might as well have been not numbered, but there was just the one-of-one stamp on it. But there was nothing cool about it beyond the one-of-one stamp. Yeah. You might as well have just taken the one-of-one stamp off, and here you have a pretty basic Eli Manning two-color patch. So there's a perfect example where, yes, it's a one-of-one, but there's nothing unique. There's nothing special about it beyond that one-of-one stamp. So we're using the one-of-one term and the stamp a little too loosey-goosey, I think.
Yeah, the one-of-one, you know, it's good because we're starting off with a low bar as far as the one of one, and then we'll build up to the special one of one cards, I think, a little bit later. But here's another example to reinforce that same point here, Craig, is this JJ Redick Obsidian Lightning Strike sticker auto one of one. You see the one of one here on the back if you're watching on the YouTube. And thanks to anyone who's stuck with us now for close to 100 episodes. And definitely a like and subscribe and comment if you haven't yet. That is not a cool one of one. No offense to JJ, and I know he's a competitor of us, you know, as we've mentioned. We don't like to shout out our competitor podcast, but for me, it was cool because I got this in a three-card JJ Redick lot, and I paid a good price for it. I think I'm only into this one of one for like $90. So it makes sense for me to have it as far as like a flipping opportunity, but like you said, it's not a cool one of one. It's a sticker auto, and it's just kind of a regular autograph card.
Basically, if you take the one of one stamp off of it, you could probably acquire that same exact card. It looks the same for a much less price.
And I think that's a good barometer to measure if a one of one is really special. Like if you took the one of one off of it, which of course jades your opinion because you're like, ooh, one of one. Wow, now it's super cool. But if you take the one of one away from it, is it still cool? You know, I feel like that might be a good way because, you know, we like to add value to the hobby. That might be a good way to think about it. Like, okay, if I take the one of one stamp or one of one serial numbering off of this card, do I still like it?
When you hear one of one in this hobby, on the count of three, what color do you think of? One, two, three, black.
Black.
Okay. We weren't exactly in sync there, but close enough.
Yeah.
So we associate one of ones with black, right? I think
right. We
could credit Panini for that one, like the true black one of one prism.
Yeah.
But I think we've gotten to the point where anything beyond the true black, it's all this, all right, well, now we've got black disco, black no huddle. Gold vinyl, black shimmer. And they're kind of taking the allure away from the one-of-ones. So recently, I had a Jarrett Jack, solid NBA player, great long career.
Yeah.
I had his mosaic black one-of-one sticker auto. I ended up selling it, I think, for $60. But
sticker auto, you said?
Sticker auto, mosaic black. It was one-of-one. It was kind of the card. It was just like, eh. You know, there's no reason. No offense to Jarrett Jack. There's no reason a sticker auto of Jarrett Jack should go for $60. You could pick up Jarrett Jack autographs for probably $5, $10 all day. Right. Even though it was mosaic black, it wasn't like that true black that pops. So it was the black color. There's a one-on-one sticker on the back. That shouldn't be a reason why something sells for more than it then it really.
But why not? Why not? I mean, one of one, that's the manufactured rarity. Don't you? I mean, don't you think that if you're a Jarrett Jack collector or a Portland Trailblazers dude, wouldn't that make you more interested in the card?
I suppose. I just, when you see the true black prisms, they pop, right? So the Michael Vick that I just sold, mm-hmm. I think it, because it's the true black, there's no more pattern to it. It's just like bright and bold black. That's the appeal to it. This had was kind of wavy. It was kind of like an off black. It wasn't for, I mean, maybe I'm a bit hypocritical saying this considering I picked the card up in the first place, but it just goes to my point is it's somewhat, there's nothing that sexy about the card that's like, wow, this is unique. Look how cool and different this is. There's nothing like it. There's plenty like it. Just a slightly just a slightly different color.
There's plenty like it just without the one of one numbering.
Right. Yeah, that's my point.
But let me ask you this. When you're evaluating that and you're deciding to buy it, how do you say to yourself, this could be a good card for me to buy to flip? And then why take a risk on a player like Jarrett Jack?
That particular instant, I was at a shop, Hot Corner in Brooklyn, and I brought in a bunch of stuff to trade. I just wanted to do reshuffling, essentially.
Okay. Okay.
And they had that available. It was like the only thing like it in the store. I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a try. I'll take a chance on this one. I ended up more or less breaking even on it. That was the only reason. Otherwise, I don't see that in a show or a shop typically. I'd be like, wow, I need to have this.
Yeah.
It was just kind of circumstantial.
Okay. Well, that's a good lesson though, too. You know, what are the circumstances in which you pick up these cards? So let me ask you this as far as a different topic on the one of ones, your thoughts on the black box and white box one of ones. I know we haven't, really totally prepared for that exact topic, but I see you have the thumbs down. You're not a big fan of the black box or the white box one of ones.
Correct. Because most of them just look like the basic regular card. They just stamped the black box one of one on it. Or not even stamped. It's like a sticker, right?
Yeah. Now it's a sticker. Again, it used to be a stamp with the earlier ones. Like I had that Rob Gronkowski notable nicknames Gronk on there. That had a stamp, one of one white box or black box from the National.
I remember. Yeah, yeah.
But now they're just the circular stickers on the back. You're right.
It goes back to my point with Eli Manning. If you remove that one of one, is there anything sexy about that card? Or does it look like a basic card? If you granted, a lot of the black box and the white box one of ones are typically on nicer cards. But right. It looks like a regular version of that card. They just stamp something on it. The Eli Manning patch looked like a regular old patch card with just a one-on-one stamp on it.
Right. A lot of them will be the same exact, you know, flawless out of 25, out of 15, out of 10, out of exactly. 5. And the white box one-of-one is the same exact design. So let me ask you this, because I recently picked up this Jim Brown flawless auto numbered 5 out of 5 with him in the yellow Hall of Fame, or I shouldn't say yellow, it's really gold. Let me give the proper reverence to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And you know, Cleveland, Ohio's finest, Jim Brown, is who's featured on this card, numbered 5 out of 5 on card auto. So I'm interested, how do you value a white box or a black box one of one versus the same card numbered out of 5. So like if the white box one of one Jim Brown auto went for, I think like $750, what would you value the 5 out of 5 at in that scenario?
Personally, without doing any research, I understanding that the 5 of 5 was pack pulled and the one of one was like an extra in a white box, like from the National or something. Personally, I would value them the same.
Yeah.
I'm assuming if the black box 101 did 750, then your out of 5 is probably 500. If I just had to guess, I don't look at it that way. I don't make the market.
I think your logic is how at least I looked at it. And I think a lot of other people, that would be an interesting like survey question, or if anybody wants to comment on the podcast or YouTube and say, well, if the same card numbered out of 5, or let's say numbered out of 10, even, how does that compare to a white box or a black box one of one of the same card? Because I think if I'm collecting this because it has that authentic, you know, this card was, like you said, pack pulled or in a box, it has a different vibe to it, even though it's numbered out of five instead of the white box, black box, one of one, which kind of has the manufactured, almost not of the hobby in the same way as something that's actually serial numbered. So to me, I think you're right. I think they're equal.
But let's turn this around and make a positive.
Okay.
What attributes are you looking for in a one-of-one card that's like, oh, I could see why this is one-of-one. It's unique. There's not much like it. And I'm going to kick us off with probably one of my favorite parallels. I would say the general hobby consensus would agree this is one of the most iconic parallels. I believe it debuted in 2005. Topps Chrome Baseball, and you probably know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Super Fractors.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you could make the argument. Sure, that Super Fractors, it's just the same thing as the base card, but with a different design.
Right.
You can really say that about parallels in general. For me, it just strikes a chord in me. I don't know what it is. I see the Super Fractor design and just something strikes my brain like, wow, this is cool. Maybe it takes me back to my days of collecting Topps Baseball in the mid-2000s, looking at pack odds and seeing how unbelievably difficult it was to pull a Super Fractor. So something about the lure of the rarity.
Right.
So here's my one Super Fractor that I have. It's from the 2022 National in Atlantic City, Weston McKinney Super Fractor in a PSA 10. And just something about those circular rounds. It's got a bunch of layers on it. Just that design. It just hit something with me that I can't even explain it. And I'm sure many would agree. There's just something about the Super Fractor and the longevity of it where I think that's a really good point that I just came up with. Whereas these new black mosaic, no huddle, sure, it's a one of one. It's been around for 20 years.
Parallel. And there's only one of one. There's only one of those one of ones.
Yes.
In every set. So great it's not point. Like there's multiple versions of the parallel. Like the Super Fractor is the only one of one from those sets. And plus, you know, you kind of went back to one of the things that you've talked about several times, Craig, on the podcast, as far as the continuity of that Super Fractor, one of one being in every year set and crossing different sports and people knowing that's the one of one. I mean, even Star Wars Super Fractor one of one, that's like, you know, it's spanned even outside of sports into, you know, pop culture cards as well.
And I think if you look at it, you have a Super Fractor in front of you, the design pops. There's something different about it that you don't really see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what the uniqueness is.
Yeah.
What do you got?
That's a great point. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with what do you look for in a one of one? That's a great question because you shouldn't just be, I mean, I shouldn't say that. You can hobby however you want to, but in my opinion, you can't just be brainwashed by, oh, it's a one of one. And no matter what it is, then just go for it because you have that manufactured rarity. So like, if I'm looking for a one of one, like to me, I really like one of one game used patches or game used laundry tags. Hmm. So like I'll give you three quick examples of cards I picked up within the last week here. This Big Poppy David Ortiz, one of one National Treasures Retro Materials, big piece of the letter patch. And if you look close, you can actually see some of the jersey is like frayed, so maybe he slid into, well, he probably wasn't doing a lot of sliding on the base path. Yeah, maybe he swung so hard that, you know, the material frayed a little bit. But to me, this is like really cool jumbo game used patch, one of one in the National Treasures cursive that they put on there. So I don't know, I'm a sucker for like a one of one game used patch. Like, check this one out. I just got, I don't know if you saw this on my story, this Russell Westbrook National Treasures game gear, game used Adidas laundry tag.
I saw it in focus the first time. There it is.
Yeah.
There you go. Hold it closer to the camera. Closer than you would think.
There you go.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
So that's pretty cool. From his Oklahoma City Thunder days. So what am I looking for? A cool card by itself. If I'm looking for a one of one and evaluating, like, I think, you know, we kind of came up with some good stuff, like, throughout this conversation, this card therapy, you know, getting those thoughts out there. And is this card cool without the one of one serial number on it? This David Ortiz, I'd be interested in this chunky game used patch, no matter what the numbering. Of course, the price has got to be right as well. And that's the next layer of it. But like this Russell Westbrook game used laundry tag from his time with the Thunder, remembering his triple double season when he averaged a triple double, his MVP, you know, that to me is cool, no matter if it's a one of one or not. And then I also picked up this one, this Bo Jackson in the Kansas City Royals uniform, BGS 95, another game used laundry tag. And this card's super cool. Again, no matter if it's a one of one, if it's numbered out of 25, whatever it is. But I think along with the one of one, a lot of times you get those items like the game used laundry tag with the Westbrook and the Bo Jackson. So to me, that comes along with the one of one, and it's an extra added cool part of it that sets the card apart more so than just it being a one of one.
Right. Like that card has to be a one of one. Cause if you have a Bo Jackson uniform, you could only take out RAW from Rawlings one time. Yeah. Just like if Panini has a Russell Westbrook uniform, how many Adidas logos are there on that uniform? You could literally only
Use it. But once. I mean, they could use other jerseys. They could get other jerseys throughout the season. But like usually they don't do, I mean, usually something like a laundry tag, that is a one of one, or sometimes a one of three, or, you know, out of five. But usually if it's that cool, you get the added layer of it being a cool card on top of the serial number. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's, you know, that's why I got it. I just think it's super cool. And I think they're, you know, have long-term investment opportunities too, which we'll get to, I think, in our next episode. That'll be our next topic of what qualities do we look for in an investable card. And, you know, we'll put that into action because we'll show what cards we've actually invested in and what qualities, you know, pertain to that. But, you know, I think that's a really good thing to go back to. Like, how cool is this card without the one of one on it? And then that adds a bonus, obviously, to it, that it's a one of one. But it has to have that foundation of being cool, meaningful, or valuable to you without the one of one label.
Sure. I actually don't really have many in my collection. I don't know why that is in particular, but going back to patches, like a logo man, I can't wrap my head around the fact that some logo man cards are not one of ones.
Yeah.
Imagine getting a game worn logo man, but it's out of like three or out of four, which some of those do exist.
Yeah.
That just wouldn't quite do it for me. No. Well, here's one patch that I have. This is one I got recently. The Julius Randle Kentucky patch. Now, at first glance, I look at this and I think, like, really cool card. Pretty unique.
Yeah.
I'm not – I wouldn't be convinced that this needs – like, should be a one of one.
Right.
But when you peel back the layers, there is not really a lot of college game-worn stuff.
Right.
Not to mention, I think that letter, is the K from Kentucky.
Yeah, it could be.
So in that sense, there's really not much else like it.
Yeah.
So
even though it's not like a laundry tag or anything, but still being a game used college uniform, it makes sense that it's pretty rare.
Yeah. Where do you stand on printing plates?
I'm not a big fan of printing plates. Me neither. I think a lot of people are not, which is why you see the value of them not very strong. So yeah, I mean, I honestly kind of feel bad because you think they should be like, they're a cool, and they have the unique element along with being a one of one of being a printing plate, but it just doesn't, for some reason, the hobby hasn't determined that that's actually cool.
Yeah, I mean, they don't look great and they're not one of ones because there's multiple printing plates for that card. So you could actually get all four printing plates that were all used for this one card. So it's four different one of ones. So that's not really a one of one. Obviously there are extenuating circumstances. Shout out to our friend Andrew, St. Croix collector, who gifted me this printing plate.
Okay. So
obviously, I'm going to keep that.
Yeah.
Because it was a gift, and it's a Weston McKinney 101. Pairs very nicely. So here's my Weston McKinney 101 collection.
There you go.
And I have to shout out my friend Al, who is Level Up Cards, also NYC Hoops collector. He's in the Knicks card group chat. Very good friend of mine. One of the most desirable, sought after cards in this entire maybe history of the hobby that is yet to be uncovered is the 2009 Topps Chrome Stephen Curry Superfractor. Can you picture Stephen Curry Topps rookie babyface?
Yes.
Okay. So Topps, it wasn't Topps and Topps Chrome that year. It was just the Topps product, but there were Chrome cards in the product. I used to rip so many of those jumbo packs for like $10 a piece. The Stephen Curry Superfractor rookie has yet to be seen.
Really?
Yet to be seen. So that's why if you have sealed wax of that product, it's incredibly sought after. Now,
that's another great topic for another time, is the sealed wax investment.
And although the Superfractor has not been uncovered of the Steph Curry rookie, in theory, what would be the next best Steph Curry Topps rookie you can get?
They're like a gold.
They have the gold. Yeah, no, true. There's the Topps Chrome Gold out of 50, but they make printing plates from Topps.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So my friend Al, who was able to not only find one of those Steph Curry Topps rookie printing plates, but he actually got it signed. And I don't know if you've ever seen this. No. He just, like, you paid for your Patrick Ewing to get signed. He paid for the Steph Curry. You got to see this. I mean, this thing's
amazing. Yeah.
And he had Steph Curry sign it and actually write true one of one on it.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so this is Steph Curry. And you could see it's not the Topps Chrome Superfractor, but it's the Topps Chrome printing plate that made his Topps Chrome rookies.
Yeah.
So he uncovered that card. He got it signed by Steph Curry. Like, you know, whatever, you know, they do his private signings, and had Steph write true one of one on it. That is freaking cool.
That adds a whole nother layer of coolness by that inscription. Wow. Okay. So, I mean, now that printing plate scenario is different.
Sure.
Extending than usual, being an all-time star or a Hall of Famer, you know, fringe top 10 player of all time, possibly. And, you know, one of the best of our generation. But, I mean, his iconic rookie card and the one of one hasn't been found. So now you're kind of vying for what the real, and as Steph Curry proclaimed, that's the true one of one for now.
So in having this conversation, just kind of makes me think and reflect. Don't be so blinded when you hear that this card is a one of one. Like, beyond that one of one stamp, what makes that card special?
Right.
That's just something to think about.
I mean, that's what I was thinking about when I picked up this one of one, Craig, the first time we met in person at last year's National. Of course, the Larry Bird one of one flawless patch auto game used big piece of the letter. And this would be a card, first of all, obviously my favorite, you know, guy to collect, my number one PC guy. I actually went through my Larry Bird collection and I have 13 different Larry Bird autographs. And it was funny because I was talking to my dad and he said, how many of those are like all-time collection pieces that you think will really stand the test of time? And I told him, I think 7 out of the 13 are really ones that I would, you know, almost like your Weston McKinney Superfractor. Like, you might have other Weston McKinney cards in your collection that you don't believe in as much as far as the value of those long-term, but you still think they're super cool to you. So it was interesting to go through talking to somebody who's not really in the hobby and my dad, what do I think will really stand the test of time versus what am I collecting just because it's cool to me and it's Larry Bird. So 7 out of 13, you know, with Mark Zablow on the last episode talking about Bleeker, we were explaining, like, you're going for a batting average as far as success rate rather than free throw percentage sometimes. And if you haven't checked out that interview, definitely go back and watch or listen to episode 84, because it goes through all of Bleecker Trading's history, the legendary New York City card shop, and the business mindset, and you know, risk taking, and all that entrepreneurial
business heavy episode. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. So that was cool. But back to your point, Craig, as far as the factors that you evaluate, like, it's my favorite player, it's my main PC guy, it's my favorite brand, and Flawless, next to Exquisite, but of this era, Flawless is my favorite. It's my favorite type of card, which I think you also agree, game used patch with an autograph on the card. And then the one of one is an added bonus to make it like, wow, this is now a grail card. But this is a card that I would definitely be interested in regardless of the one of one label. And all the one of one label really changes for me is, where does this card rank in my collection? Like, how badly do I need it now because it's actually really rare? And then, of course, the value of what I had to pay for it, or I actually mostly traded into it, added some cash. And then, you know, what could I possibly sell it for if I one day did decide to sell it? And right now I'm into it for $5,100 on this Larry Bird one of one. Now, if this is like numbered out of 15, this is like, you know, $1,000, $1,200, around that range type of card. So now you're talking multiple times more for the one of one, but at the same time, it's an all-time collection piece that I think once you get a card that is in that top few percent of a player's cards, now you're looking at something that could, you know, increase over time, or you could hold for whatever you want to sell it for if you do end up wanting to sell it. So that's where, coming back to the value conversation, you know, I'm into this for 5,000, but why can't I ask 8,000, 9,000 for this if I wanted to sell it?
It is a one-on-one at the end of the day. And I'll end with this one, piggybacking on yours. I totally forgot I had this until about a minute ago.
Okay.
You talk about a one-on-one. We love patches. Favorite team. Speaking of patches, Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
This actually wasn't pack pulled. It was one of those Panini bonus packs, but not from like Panini Father's Day. It was Panini Day in 2020.
Okay.
It's a Patrick Ewing game worn patch. 101. Look at that 101 stamp on the front. I think that adds a nice little touch to it, that the 101's on the front.
It does.
So I asked myself, why is this a 101? What makes this special?
Yeah.
It's that logo right there. That's like the old school Knicks logo. It's not that common. You're not going to find a lot of Patrick Ewing game-worn patches with the old Knicks logo. So I feel like the one-of-one is justified in this case because there really is not much like it.
Yeah, that's a great point. The one-of-one like that with the Knicks logo, the one-of-one with the laundry tags that I showed, you know, that definitely factors into it. Like, is there a reason this is a one-of-one?
That's it. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Like, there are reasons that those cards that we mentioned are one-of-ones. Is there a reason that this JJ Redick is a one of one other than them just deciding to throw a one of one on it? No. So that might be a good differentiator also. If you think, is there a reason that this card is a one of one? What about this card sets it into the one of one category? And if it doesn't have something that does, like it's not a laundry tag or it's not a logo, then maybe it doesn't have as much weight as you truly might think a one of one should have.
And if you want to play devil's advocate, okay, then why are these black prisms one-of-ones? Like, what's their reason other than the fact that they're just black? Well, that's what Panini decided on a decade ago. And then that goes back into continuity. It's already established itself.
And I think if it's an iconic brand, it's much different as far as a one-of-one, like your Superfractor. If it's the Superfractor one-of-one, if it's the Prism Black one-of-one, those hold different weights than just, it's an absolute football one of one, you know, like if it's a lower brand or a lesser known brand and it's a one of one, it's not going to hit the same as this is the franchise flagship set of this generation. And it's a one of one of that. That's a way different category than, you know, whatever random brand one of one.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how many times we said 101.
A lot more than one.
Yeah, definitely more than one. Not as many as the number of Trevor Lawrence's 101 rookie cards, but still plenty of times.
True. It's somewhere in between that and the other one.
All right.
All right, bro. So we'll come back. By the time this actually drops, we're recording a couple in a row here because I'm going to the homeland with the Paisans. I'm going to Italy for 2 weeks with my mom. So you think I can find a card store in Italy?
I'm going to Greece in the summer, and I already had the same thought.
What are you going to get, a Giannis?
Whatever I can get my hands on. But yes, I bet you can find a card shop in Italy.
Because we got to think of the, you know, of course they're going to have, Giannis is going to be a legend in Greece. I mean, that's in his nickname.
You're going to find some footy cards, that's for sure.
You think Andrea Pirlo might
Definitely. Maybe even Mike Piazza.
Oh, like American Italians?
Paisans.
Okay, okay. All right. We'll see. Maybe I'll find a Robert De Niro pop century.
Very nice.
All right, bro. Well, we're going to talk about the investment potential of cards. So, like, what makes something an investable card for both of us in the next episode, which, you know, will be in a few minutes for us, but it'll be in a week for the viewers and listeners. And, yeah, I think that's what we got coming up.
Cool. Peace. Are you going to send a different link or just cut this up?